Father, we do thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us already. And Lord, I thank you that you've got plans for our lives and you want to speak to us. Because Lord, much of what I've got to say has already been spoken in the songs and in the prayers and the scriptures brought. But Lord, I just thank you that you're at work. So Lord, would you take what I've prepared and would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see? And Lord, I pray that you'd bless my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord, wherever we're at, we just thank you that we've got you as our hope and our joy. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes we hear something that really impacts us. We hear loads of things said, don't we? Especially from up here and from other pulpits. But every now and again, there'll be something spoken that, like, it's like it's spoken out and you kind of reach up and grab it and think, I'm having that. And that happened to me about 30 years ago. I remember listening to somebody preach and they said something that it gave me a hunger, gave me an appetite. It caused me to really receive that word and to make it my own. You want to know what it is now, don't you?
Yeah.
It was quite simple, very simple. He held up his Bible. I brought my biggest Bible I've got. He held up his Bible and he said, no matter where you are in your life or whatever you go through, keep reading your Bible. Right. Don't depart from it.
Yeah.
Keep reading it. Stick at it. And you will be all right. God will be with you. He will see you through. And we've already heard a lot of that, actually, in that wonderful song. So I just hope and pray that what I say gives you a bit of a, might whet your appetite this morning. But as I'm sure you know, reading your Bible isn't always that easy, is it? There are times we'll pick it up and it'll be like, you can read it. At the end of reading it, you'll close it. And you've forgotten what you read. Or it didn't really connect. You didn't really know what you were reading. But I would say even then, though, it still does your soul good, even if it didn't do your mind much good. And then, I mean, do you ever find that? Is that something that people recognise? I do, still. Of course, then again, there are those times where you open your Bible and, wow, that was just what I needed to read today. That's just what I needed. That's right where I'm at. And that really speaks to me.
Yeah.
And it really impacts you. Do people recognize that as well?
Yeah.
Is that something?
Yeah.
Of course, there are also those times where we'll find a passage that'll be really interesting. And it's like we're feasting on it as we come to know the depth of it and the context it's in and what it's trying to say, as though it's a bigger picture. So it's not just like a wonderful snack just for what you need right there and then. It's something that you feast on. It's like real meat and does you good. And that kind of gives you knowledge, growth, maturity, and also freedom. Say freedom because we're doing the Freedom in Christ course. It's the truth that sets people free.
That's right.
Because we need to be aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And one of Satan's greatest weapons is for us to be distracted and not to read our Bibles. A couple of weeks ago, there was a tongue brought, and the interpretation was that we are to be a people of the Word. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
For us to be a people of the Word. So how do we become a people of the Word? So, how do we become a people of the Word? In that song, it mentioned the Comforter, that song, Every Promise, that we sang. We have a Comforter. Just before Jesus ascended, he promised that he would send a helper and a Comforter.
Yeah.
And that is the Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts that moment we are born again.
Yeah.
So as that moment we are born again, like you were. Straight away, the Holy Spirit was evident in your life, so you were able to speak to Will and lead him to Christ, because the indwelling Holy Spirit is like a split second. And then the Holy Spirit dwelt upon Will as well. So at that moment where we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we, even though we are babies, we're very young, and we like desperately need food at that stage. And that food is the Word of God. The more we read, the more we grow, and we bear the fruits of the Spirit, which is what we're looking at in discipleship groups. And if you're not in a discipleship group, get in one, because it's really good. And feed you throughout the week. When it comes to those difficult passages, or you might find you read something and think, what am I reading? This is really hard. It's not meaning anything. We can just ask the Holy Spirit. Just shoot up a quick prayer. Help me with this. And he will bring light to it. He would edify it. He would just help you to grasp it. And you'll grow from that. It's often a good just to pray a short prayer before you start reading. I often do that, because I like to read my Bible first thing in the morning. Some mornings we're a bit groggy, aren't we? So it's a bit hard work. So you say, Lord, help me to get this morning, what you're saying. Would you open this? Would you bless it? It only has to be a quick prayer. Just help me. Just help. If you can't pray anything else, help, Lord. As I was preparing for this, I could have gone down so many different avenues, because the Bible has so much to say about itself. So it's like I've got to kind of stick to one thing. So there's a chapter in the Bible that's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Not the whole thing, though, you'll be pleased to know. I don't know what the page number is in your Bibles, but it's pretty well in the middle, so if you just... This is a remarkable psalm, unlike the other psalms in many ways. It's more of a collection of devotions. It doesn't actually say who wrote it. It's probably David, or it could be Ezra. Somebody said it's probably Ezra because he was a scribe. But so we don't know. It's obviously not important. I like what Matthew Henry says about it, though. He says it's a chest of gold rings rather than a chain of gold links. I just think that's lovely, because it's kind of a poetic psalm. It doesn't kind of flow one word after another. It's like a treasure chest. It has 22 parts. Each one would beginning with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each part has 8 verses. The general scope of this psalm is to magnify God's word. You'll find that it mentions God's word in many different ways, such as statutes, law, precepts, commands. I'm sure there's more. So I'm only going to read the first 16 verses, you'll be pleased to know. Okay, verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. We can say we are blessed.
Amen.
They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart. I will learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? I don't really know why it just highlights a young man. I guess that's probably... If a young man can keep his way pure, I suppose we all can. I don't know. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yeah.
That's up there. That's good. Praise be to you, O Lord.
Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Praise God. So I encourage you to read the rest when you get home. Do you like the picture, by the way? She really knows how to get into her Bible, don't she? I saw that and I thought, yes, I've got to have that. I like that. I particularly love that imagery, actually, of, well, I like that image as well, but verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. We are so blessed to have so many Bibles and the freedom to read them. We've got them in easy reach on our phones. You can listen to it. I like to listen to it while I'm at work, which is a great blessing to me and also to the home that I'm working in. For those of you who don't know, I'm a painter and decorator, so I work in people's homes. And it's great to take the light of Jesus into people's homes and get the opportunity to share Jesus with people. But I've noticed that when you do speak the word to people, you may quote a Bible verse, it's really powerful. It changes atmospheres so, so good. But to listen to the audible, like this week, I thought I'm not going to listen to a sermon by anybody else because it might distract what I'm going to say. So I've just been listening to the Psalms, just had Psalms playing. And they're just amazing. So good. So we are blessed to have the word, the freedom to read it. But of course there are those who get it taken away from them. We hear of those like John Bunyan, Terry Waite, who were imprisoned for their faith. I don't know if John Bunyan had his Bible taken away from him, I'm not sure. But Terry Waite, I'm pretty sure he had his Bible taken away from him. And the word came to him as he was praying. He was able to recount scriptures that he knew because it was hidden in his heart. Has anybody read about Brother Yun, or Yun? It's known as the Heavenly Man. It's a powerful book. He led a house church in China, was arrested for his faith, tortured. He refused to renounce his faith. He was imprisoned. And while he was imprisoned, he had his Bible taken away from him. I'm just going to read an extract of his story. Now, this is when he was 16. He was already a Christian. Brother Yun wanted a Bible, and his mother recalled that there was a man in another village who had one, so she brought him to see the man. The man was too afraid to show Brother Yun his Bible, so he suggested to the latter that he could pray and ask God for one. Brother Yun decided to fast and pray for a Bible for the next 100 days. He ate only one bowl of steamed rice every day. One day at 4 a.m., after fasting for 100 days, he saw a vision. In the vision, he was walking up a steep hill and trying to push a heavy car at the same time. Cart, not a car. He was heading towards a village where he intended to beg for food for his family. He struggled greatly as he continued his climb uphill. The cart was about to roll back and fall on him when he saw 3 men walking down the hill in the opposite direction. One of them was a kind old man, and he was pulling a large cart of fresh bread. When the old man saw Brother Yun, he asked him if he was hungry. He said yes and started crying. The old man then took a red bag of bread from his car and asked his 2 servants to give it to Brother Yun. As he put the bread into his mouth, it immediately turned into a Bible. Upon waking up, Brother Yun began to search for the Bible. His search, however, was in vain. All of a sudden, he heard a faint knock on the door and someone was calling out his name. Immediately, he recognized the voice. It was the same voice he had heard in the vision. He He quickly opened the door, and standing before him were the two servants he had seen in the vision. One of them held a red bag in his hand. In this red bag was a Bible. Brother Yun began to devour the word of God, even though he could hardly read. This did not deter him at all. When he had finished reading the entire Bible, he started to memorize one chapter per day. In 28 days, he had memorized the Gospel of Matthew. Then he went on to memorize the book of Acts, and so forth. Throughout all the horrendous and painful experiences that Brother Yun went through, the word of the Lord kept coming to him, encouraging him and strengthening his faith. The word was hidden in his heart, and he was able to reach out to his fellow inmates, lead them to Christ, teaching them and preaching them from the word that was hidden in his heart. And that doesn't mean to say that we need to fast for 100 days just eating a bowl of rice or memorize the whole books of the Bible, but just a regular reading, just, we don't realize how it goes in.
Right.
Sometimes I find myself in the prayer meeting out there and a verse of scripture comes to mind. It wasn't on my mind before. It's just the Holy Spirit brings it forward.
Yeah.
So just as we need physical food in order to sustain physical life, so we need spiritual food to maintain spiritual stamina. A grounding in the word of God makes us strong.
Yeah.
We're in a spiritual battle daily. I'm sure you're aware of that. I've lost where I am now. So we're in a spiritual battle daily between truth and lies. The truth of God's word overcomes the lies. Sin will keep you from God's word, but God's word will keep you from sin.
Yeah.
As verse 11. As it says here, I've in your heart hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word as a sword, as we heard from Denny this morning, it's a sword of the Spirit. It's one we can use when we're facing temptation, difficulties, trials, doubts, and things arise like that. Jesus modeled this when he was tempted in the desert. When he was, he'd fasted for 40 days. He didn't even have a bowl of rice. And then he was led into the desert and tempted by the devil. And he overcame, not by just telling him to clear off. He overcame by quoting scripture. As I said earlier, you sometimes speak the word to somebody in a conversation. I've done that. And it really does change the atmosphere and it does do something. Stephen and myself have met somebody and we've spoken the word to them and encouraged them from the word, and it really calms them down and peace comes upon them. Now, I don't know if they've understood what we've said, but God does something, doesn't he, through his word. In Hebrews it says that the word is a sword that divides joint and marrow. It goes down really deep and it doesn't return void either, so when you speak it out, it's going to bear fruit somewhere. So put our trust in the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. I'm echoing a bit, is that all right? Jesus is the word of God. Thanks. I'm nearly done anyway. In ancient Greek, Jesus as the word of God is called Logos, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's better. So we put our trust in the written word of God, and in ancient Greek that's called the Rhema, and we trust it from cover to cover, word for word.
Amen.
Don't start being skeptical about it any place, because it could compromise the rest of the word. Trust it. It tells you what happened in the beginning and what is going to happen at the time of the end. Trust God, trust in his word, trust in his promises.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm done. Bless you. We're going to sing that, or we're going to play that song again that we sang earlier, and it follow the words on the screen, because when it speaks of the promises, it comes up with a different promise. So take them on board, and yeah, be blessed. Amen.
Do you want people to sing along or not?
Kenneth,
I
like
it.
Yeah.
So Ian has a video of the song that we sang earlier, Standing on the Promises of God. Caleb's going to play that, but just pause it for a moment. And as Ian says, it lists lots of the promises from Scripture as the song goes through. So when it says each time, we're standing on the promises of your word, it gives us an actual promise. Can I invite us all, whilst this is playing as well, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, create an even deeper hunger in me for your word. It's never a bad prayer. You might know 99% of the Bible. But if there's 1% left to know, then it's a great prayer. And most of us don't know the half of it, let alone 99%. So let's pray. Lord, give me a deeper hunger for your word. Thanks, Caleb.
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. When I stand, sin, condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I'll stand on every promise of your word. Yeah. grace for all who will believe. We will stand on every promise of your word.
If you'd like somebody to join with you in prayer this morning for that greater love for God's word, there'll be a team, Joy, Ian, Charles, myself and others down here at the front, and we'd love to join with you in praying for that. Or if it's any other need or request, we'll gladly pray with you for all sorts of things. God says in Hebrews, we don't want you to become lazy. We want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. So church, I bless you this morning, that any slothfulness, any laziness will be rid from your lives by the Holy Spirit, and mine too. And may you, by faith, trusting God and patiently persevering on, inherit every promise of God for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. There's teas and coffees and refreshments served in the welcome area, but those who'd like prayer, please don't forget, we'll be down here to pray for you.